Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Mind Tripping with Michelle. My name is Michelle Melio, and I'm your host, and I'm also here with my co-host, Robin. Hey, Robin, how you doing today?
I'm great, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good. You know, thank you so much for putting this together for us. Robin has been working really hard on her end to get our new Mind Tripping with Michelle show up and running, and we have some wonderful things in store for you. The show will rebroadcast live on March 4th. So just wanted to give everybody an update about that. And we will be interviewing some pretty amazing people, as well as we have this wonderful outline that we have now to follow so that it's not so crazy. You'll also get to see my new set, which is being designed right now. I'm really excited about that. And so today in I guess, celebration of the upcoming new broadcast, Robin and I decided to do a blast for you and give you an idea of what's to come. So today we're going to be talking about how to choose the tarot deck that's right for you. And this is great if you're just interested in learning to read the tarot cards, or if you have a deck of cards and you're looking for a set and you're just not sure which ones will work for you. It's also great if you dabble in reading the cards and you have a deck already, but you just aren't sure if it's the right one. And we're going to answer that question that probably I think everybody asks, right, Robin, is do you have to be psychic to read tarot cards? So many people, I think, really kind of misinterpret how the whole tarot works.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of misconceptions when it comes to the tarot, and hopefully we can talk about some of those and let people know it's not evil. You know, that's one of the first things that comes up, is that the tarot is evil, especially in certain religious practices. Some people just don't go near it because that's what they've been taught their whole life. But, you know, hopefully we can help some people out and get them to not think that way.
Yeah, hopefully. I love that. And I'm glad that you said that, because, you know, when I first started reading, I'm more of a spiritual person now with my religious beliefs, but I was baptized and raised Catholic. And when I started reading the tarot, I was 12, and I carried a rosary around with me with my tarot deck just to keep them, you know, clear of any negative energies. And back then, you know, I didn't know about all this other spiritual type hype. I was mainly a Catholic person that read cards. So yeah, I think mm-hmm. that's a great point.
Okay. So I have a couple of questions that I think some people that would be interested in would want to know either the differences of, or what you do as far as a reader, and how you pick your deck or decks or however many you work with. But the first thing is the differences between oracle cards, regular reading cards, you know, playing cards with, you know, the diamonds and that, versus a regular tarot deck. Can you kind of explain to people what the differences would be in those?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And also, for the questions and for those listening, Robin also is a psychic and also reads the cards. So I'd really love it. You know, I know that you'll jump on in, Robin, but I really love it if you also kind of give your spin, because then maybe the listeners can know that even though we both read tarot, read cards, we also have different ideas on how we do it. So for me, I think that the difference between Oracle, Tarot, and the regular deck of playing cards is that I think it's really the way that you read the cards. So for me personally, an Oracle deck is going to be a deck that I'm going to use for somebody that has like one quick question, or they're looking for guidance, what direction to go in, or where they are at this moment in their life. Oracle mm-hmm. decks for me, yeah, they're great to, you know, get your daily, what's my day going to be like today? And you just pull one of the Oracle cards.
Right.
Yeah. Do you do the same thing, or?
I kind of have to where the Oracle decks that I have, I don't use those in readings for other people. Those are mine for, like, daily use. Like you said, what's my day going to be like today? What's my week going to look like? You know, that kind of thing. And Oracle cards and regular playing cards, they don't have the major and minor or the major arcana cards in them. So you're kind of missing some cards. And so I tend to want to use regular tarot cards when I'm reading for someone else because it gives them a more in-depth look at what's going to be happening. So I kind of go that way with it.
I like that. And it's true. Regular deck of playing cards have these extra court cards, and they represent the more they have the court cards. They're actually the cards that are in the same as a playing deck of cards, but they have these extra cards that are the major arcana cards, which are more spiritual, emotional. They're like the higher parts of the self, and I agree with that. And, you know, I used to always only use a tarot deck when I was given a reading for somebody. And then something happened with my intuition. You know, the more we use it, the more it opens up, the more gifts are revealed to us. And so I actually started kind of lightly channeling or tapping into my client's higher self. And what I found was the regular deck of tarot, you know, tarot cards weren't really cutting it for me because I was so focused on the tarot reading that it was challenging for me to be able to access that higher self of the person I was reading for. So I switched over to a regular deck of playing cards. And now that's really all I use for my readings with somebody, unless it's somebody that I really can't connect with. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so if I'm having a difficult time, if they're, you know, whether they're not opening up to the energies or whether their higher self just, they're not at that place, then I'll pull out the tarot and I'll do a reading with the tarot. But I like the playing cards because they're more symbolic for me and they bring me into that channeled state. So so that's kind of where I am with those two. But I agree with you. You can't get, unless you're accessing a different type of energy when you're doing the reading, you can't really get a really detailed reading with a regular deck of playing cards either.
Right. Unless you have that higher intuitive, psychic intuition, you know, stuff that a lot of readers do have, which leads me to my next question. A lot of people think that tarot readers have to be witches or psychics to be able to read cards. What is your take on that?
Right, and I think it just fell right into place perfectly. My take on that is no, we really don't. The answer is what happens with tarot, and I'm talking specifically about tarot, and my take on it is the way that I see this happening during a tarot reading with a client is that person shuffles that deck. And when they shuffle that deck, we subconsciously know what our challenges are, what our obstacles are, what are things that we're going to be bringing into our life, what we need to look for, and what guideline to follow in order to get where it is that we're going to get in the future. We already know that. The thing is, it's hidden deep in our subconscious mind. And not everyone is able to tap into that. And that's why we use things like numerology and the tarot. And so I believe that subconsciously a person shuffles that tarot deck into a specific organization. You know, it's organized a certain way subconsciously. So when the reader flips the cards, it's really a matter of learning how to interpret the cards. And a good tarot reader does not have to be psychic. A good tarot reader does not have to be a witch. A good tarot reader just really, to me, needs to be able to interpret those cards.
Correct.
How do you feel?
I totally agree. I totally agree about that. It's one of those things that it helps if you have that intuitive influence, but you don't have to have it. I mean, the cards are going to come up the way they're supposed to come up. You just have to figure them out. And just like in any deck of cards that you get, there's a pamphlet or a book that comes with it. And you can pull the cards and read from the book what the card means. and still come out with the same answer as if you were sitting across from a reader.
Yep. I agree with that. And also, a lot of people that, you know, will create their tarot deck, not a lot of people, just about everybody that creates a tarot deck, and if it comes with a booklet, it comes with that that booklet and with the descriptions. And the descriptions, a lot of times, are the descriptions that are based on the person that created the deck. So that kind of leads into our next topic is, you know, how do you select a deck? How do you know which deck is right for you? And I think that a lot of us, you know, when we're selecting a deck, you're drawn to a particular artwork, or, you know, there's certain cards that really stand out to you, or the energy or the look or the feel. And I think that when you pick a deck, you really resonate with the person that created the deck. So the meanings are going to be very similar.
Right. I agree. It's one of those things that someone will say, how do I choose a deck? And I'm like, well, what are you drawn to? If you've got, you know, you walk into a store and you're looking at all the ones that are available, which one are you drawn to? Are you drawn to the pictures? Are you drawn to the person that made them? Are you drawn to the way the box looks? It's one of those things that you're just drawn to it, and you just have to have them. It's one of those are so pretty, or I love fairies, so I'm going to buy these. It's universe's way of telling you that you've got the right deck, and this is the one that you should be using. And you'll find that if you have more than one deck, you always go back to a certain one because it's the one that's meant for you. A lot of people say that you're not supposed to choose your own deck, but someone should give them to you. It's a gift. I don't agree with that. Your deck is personal to you. It should be a deck that you pick out, not somebody else does it for you.
Yeah. You know, my aunt, many, many years ago, had told me, you know, that the best tarot deck to get was one that was a gift to you, and that it should be a gift, and that you're not going to get great readings if you buy your own deck. And so I spent a lot of time in that fear place, you know. I spent a lot of time thinking, oh, I can't buy it. Like, I love this deck, it's gorgeous, but I can't buy it because it's going to be bad luck, you know. And I was young, and you just kind of get past that. And finally, you know, I just really start buying decks and reading with them and finding that that actually wasn't true. So I think that belief is going to be created based on, you know, what that person believes in their mind, in their heart. At that time in my life when I believed that it would be bad luck if I bought my own deck, yeah, probably all of my readings would have been crap, because I believed that. Now it's not so true. You know, now I'm like the tarot deck junkie. I have like this big cake tray, you know, the 3-tier cake server that has all kinds of tarot decks and playing card decks and oracle decks. So.
All right. I know.
But yeah.
Same problem.
Yeah. It's like, it's an addiction, and it's because it just, there's just so many beautiful, gifted artists that create these decks that, you know, I think that's the big thing, is you have your main deck and you start there and you work your way up.
I agree.
Or not.
A lot of people think, you know, it is an old tradition to have a reader charge a deck and give it to you as a gift. And I know a lot of people that is how they think you're supposed to get the deck that you're supposed to be doing readings with. Well, maybe, but it's charged with their energy, not yours. It's a deck they chose, not you. So it's not your deck. That's how I look at it. And it's one of these, the modern thought is that you should choose a deck based on looking at many, and whichever one calls to you is the one you're supposed to get.
Yep, yep.
So,
now, I have a question for you, Robin. I know the answer to it, but I'm sure the viewers would like to know. Do you clear your deck? Yeah. Do you clear your
Yeah.
deck in between readings, like when you're reading for others? And if so, like what, if so or if not, why or why not, you know?
I always cleanse and clear my cards before I do another reading. And it can be as simple as shuffling the cards a couple of times before you do the next reading. Shuffling helps get rid of the energy that was on them beforehand. You don't want to drag somebody's energy that you were just reading for into the next reading. Then you get confusing messages, and they're not necessarily messages meant for that person. It should have been for the one that just left. So yes, absolutely. I cleanse and clear every time, so that that energy isn't dragged around and around and around.
Yeah, I do the same thing, and I use my pendulum, especially doing psychic fairs where you have one reading after another after another. I'll just quickly, ask my pendulum just to kind of clear the energy from that reading that was before, and it seems to work. Occasionally, if somebody has really strong energy, it will kind of slip over into the next reading. But I don't know about you, I can almost feel that. Whoa, wait a minute. This is a continuation of what I was just doing. Let's reshuffle or pick another deck. So.
Right. That's perfect. A lot of people think you should never try to read cards for yourself. Me personally, I would absolutely do a reading for myself as long as I was able to remove my ego and knew that my thought process wasn't going to follow into it. That's why most of the time, if I'm going to do a reading for myself, I'll pull oracle cards instead of doing a tarot reading. It's just something quicker and easier, and I can go about my day and not have to sit and analyze what the tarot cards are trying to tell me.
True.
How do you feel about that one?
Yeah, I'm the same way. And I think that the big trick with that is to ask your question and walk away. That's your answer. Ask your question, throw your cards, and just go with what comes first in your mind. Because I think we can tend to be our biggest deterrent and distractor for our own readings. And when we don't like the answer, or we're not sure, oh, was that the right answer? I don't know. I'm going to throw some more, and I'm going to ask again, and I'm going to ask again, and I'm going to ask again. And yeah, and then you just kind of all willy-nilly. Personally, I like to have a fresh outlook. I like to have somebody else throw some cards for me because I am able to allow my ego to step out of it, and I can just listen to what spirit has for me rather than, do that dredging things up, reading it over and over and over again.
Right. Okay, well, let's go to something different. Now, say somebody is interested in buying a deck of cards, but not really sure where to go to find them. So, can you kind of give everybody an overview on several different places where somebody could go to buy tarot cards?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think that probably if you are in an area where you know that there's a local New Age store, that would be your best bet. Or your local bookstore, like your local Borders has them, believe it or not. And also any other big bookstore, big bookseller store will have them. And because being in person for me, I think is the best way to select your first deck, because you'll want to be able to kind of see the images. You'll want to be able to, like you had said earlier, Robin, if you're into fairies or you're into this or you're into that, you can research online. I know everybody does things on the internet now, and that's okay too. But I just really like that old fashioned way of being able to, be in a store and to actually see and feel what I'm going to be purchasing.
Yeah, find that deck online and then go to a bookstore that may have it in stock and see what you feel about it then. Don't just go and buy it online unless you've already seen them in person, then go back and buy them online if you can find them at a good price or something like that, or get somebody to buy them for you as a gift if that's still something that is haunting you because it's an old tradition and you don't want to purchase them. Get somebody else to buy them. It's just one of
Right.
those things.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So I also wanted to say if anybody is listening and you would like to call in, we would be happy to answer your call, your question live on the air. And the phone number to call in, I'm just checking on finding it. Do you have that handy, Robin? Or
I do. It's area code 713-955-0351.
Awesome. Yeah, so if you have any questions, and I think we did also have a couple of email questions, and anybody that has email questions ahead of time or before the show, we're accepting email questions, and you can just email michellemelioonline@gmail.com or robincraiganmedium@yahoo.com. So we'd love to hear your feedback or your questions. Do we have any more questions or do we have any callers, Robin?
I do have some questions. How do you choose which deck to use in a reading, or do you just go to your favorite deck every time? And do you let the client pick the deck?
Oh, that's a great question. I let my client pick the deck. I always ask them to pick whatever they're drawn to for the same reason and explanation that I gave for picking out your own deck when you're going to be learning how to read or do readings. I like to be able to physically, see and feel energetically where that reading's going to go. And so I have all of my decks all on this, like, three-tier, like, pie plate, you know, the old-fashioned pie servers where you have three different levels that get smaller as you go up. And I have all my cards there, and I just put that out, and I say, select what calls to you. For two reasons. First reason is the deck that the person selects has a lot to do with how that reading's going to go. So in other words, I have a deck that has hearts on it.
Uh-huh.
And I have a, you know, deck that's more, that has actually, it's a gold deck and it has Benjamins on it, dollar bills. So I know if the person's selecting the heart deck, they're not looking for a reading on their finances. Maybe a quick reading, but
right. This
is really going to be about love and relationship. That person that
right.
goes for the Benjamins, you know, they want to know about their finances, their job, you know, their physical things like that. So that's the first
Very
reason.
Smart.
And then the second reason, is just so that we can get, you know, they can get their own energy, and they actually connect with the reading better for me. So
okay.
Do you do the same thing, or do you have one deck that you use?
I have several, but for the most part, I will use one or two decks because it gives me a more broader as far as what I feel they need to know, and I go from there. Now, do you bring numerology, astrology, and colors and all of that into your readings when you're doing them?
Most definitely. Numerologically and numerology is a really big part of reading a regular deck playing cards. Numerology precedes cards. It precedes reading cards, and I think that that's a wonderful way to gain insight for somebody. Colors, I think most definitely I go with colors. My reds and my lighter and my brighter are a more positive answer, and my darker cards or my darker colors are challenges and obstacles. So I definitely use that. What else was there? Would you say numerology, colors?
And astrology.
I don't use astrology with my readings.
Okay. I do have an email question directed to you, so here we go. This person says, I am in the process of divorce after 30 years. We go to mediation on Monday, March 2nd. Can you please tell me how it will go for me? Thanks and blessings, Julia.
Oh, lovely. Julia, thank you for writing in. And do you like that? See, so Robin and I, we love to do readings. And so I'll just pull three cards for Julia and just to kind of see. So she's got court on Monday for mediation. Is that the question, how it's going to go?
Yes.
Okay. So three cards. I'm using my regular deck of playing cards, just so everybody knows. And I've got, first off, I've got the Eight of Hearts, and I've got the Seven of Spades, and then the Ten of Hearts. I've got two red cards. For me, right off the bat, I know that this is going to be a positive experience for you. I also feel as if this is going to be, it's been something, and it's in emotionally, it's been emotionally draining, and it's going to also be the beginning of a new emotionally draining experience, and that's indicative of the Seven of Spades. So it's going to be a good positive result and a good positive outcome. I do also see the Eight of Hearts indicates that this is going to be something that's going to last a while. So you can expect a long road to resolution here, but in the long run, it's going to be everything that you imagined. On the other side of this divorce is happiness like you've really never experienced in your life. And it feels as if that Ten of Hearts indicates that's the world, that's everything that you've ever wanted, everything that you've ever imagined. It feels almost like, and now I'm going into a little bit of psychic stuff, but it feels almost like you've been a little canary trapped in a little cage, and somebody's opening up the door for you. And the whole aspect of yourself opens up with that door. So mind, body, spirit, everything changes on the other side. You can expect this to be a long journey. You can expect, I would definitely recommend some rest, drink plenty of water, and meditation. If you can find meditation, go for it, because that's going to help keep your psyche, your mindset, at a more relaxed place where you're not spending so much time worrying about it. So I don't know if you want to pull some cards on it as well, Robin.
Well, that was a very good explanation. We've only got a couple of minutes left, so maybe we should, you know, kind of start wrapping stuff up and seeing if, do we know what our show is going to be about next week so that we can kind of give everybody a heads up?
Yeah, actually, next week we're going to be re-interviewing Sandra Rose of Cinderesa's Wisdom. We're going to do, we're still working on our set, but we're going to re-interview her. We're going to kind of tune in a little bit more and get a little bit more detailed about what she does. And her website's still in the development process. So next week we are going to be interviewing her. Our show is going to rebroadcast and go live on YouTube and on Google Plus, the video aspect of it, and that's going to be on March 4th. So if anybody has any questions about the Ascension process, what it is, how you can get past it, if you are going through something specific and you want to ask Sandra about it or ask us, you know, you can send in those email questions to, what do we have? Michelle Melio online at gmail.com. And of course, Robin Cragen Medium at yahoo.com. And we can even post those. They're posted on our Blog Talk Radio site. You can see the emails. But yeah, lots of exciting things going on. Lots of exciting things.
Perfect. Okay, well, we've got about 90 seconds left. So
great.
What about your website and anything you're working on and then upcoming events or anything?
Great. Yeah, I'm really excited about my website. My website's michellemelioonline.com. I have a lot of things going on. Within the next month, we'll be launching the Mind Trip Academy, which is where people can come and be certified in NLP or certified as a coach. And also my new Hypnosis at Home programs, we're going to be, you can get certified as a Hypnosis at Home coach as well. So that's Michelle Melio Online, michellemelioonline.com. And Robin, you have a website as well that people can contact you at. And if you have a minute, I'd love you to share that.
Mm-hmm. It's Robin Cragen Medium. And it's still in the working process also. So, you know, bear with me. I will get more information on it. But right now you can go and at least see what I offer and go from there. And you can contact me anytime.
Awesome, awesome. And Robin is my go-to girl from my reading. So just for anybody listening, she is amazing. She's the one that I go to for my reading. So that's about all the time that we have for today. I want to thank you all for listening in, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.